Thank you.
Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
So we have, this is being on Facebook Live, and it will be published, so we'll be able to be viewed after tonight. I think everyone in this room knows that every meeting that we've ever had for 12 years, I open the floor for an open discussion on any subject anybody wishes to talk about. This meeting is no different. But because of the campaign materials, things being distributed, questions created, confusion, I thought it made sense that we created as a mini town hall so that anybody might be able to ask a question, make a comment. It is an open discussion. It's not a political forum. We're not going to have political sales pitches by anyone. This is about compare and contrast through our platforms, or, but it doesn't have to be about campaign. It can be about a city road project. It can be about anything, as it always is, y'all want it to be. The goal is, when we leave here, factual, true information is disseminated throughout our community. We can be in disagreement and be respectful. I want everyone to participate. No one is prohibited. I would ask that you're, if it's a statement, be concise. If it's a question, be concise, just for the sake of time. And we do have rules. Everything should be constructive. It should be professional. This is a business meeting as far as I'm concerned. I conduct these town halls as a business meeting. Now, I have been chastised because I challenge people. I will continue to do that. You come to the microphone, I will chastise, I will challenge anybody. And in return, if someone in the audience doesn't like what I said or disagrees, they're welcome to challenge me. That's what I do with my employees. They have no problem with it. Iron sharpens iron. They challenge me constantly, and I'm a better mayor for it. There's no reason our community can't be the same way. This is about emotions. This is not an emotional outlet or venue. This is about factual information that makes a difference. No personal attacks. And I hope everything's in an orderly fashion. Orderly fashion means you speak when you have the microphone, not across the room or commentary without the microphone because someone made something. Please really no applause, hissing, booing, whatever might come out. Let's just really be respectful. We all live in the same community, and I hope that when we go home, we're all able to shake hands and agree to disagree or agree to agree. So, with that being said, I think at this point, first person that wished to speak was Joe Fierro, so he has the microphone if he'd like to make a statement. Now, we don't let anybody come up here because we need their name and where they live.
You're welcome to use that mic.
Welcome to use that mic if you'd like to address the audience.
Face the camera.
So whoever you'd like to address.
I've given this a great deal of thought, and I mean no disrespect to anybody here, council, mayor included. I prepared a statement approximately 2 weeks ago. Council meeting was moved to this venue. Saturday night, this Q&A session was announced for this evening and on the city Facebook page. As far as I know, none of the challengers received any formal notice. I didn't receive any notice at all. I'll speak for myself, their tendency. Being totally honest, I'm uncomfortable with the format for this evening. I've never heard of anything like this being done. In other forums, there's a neutral moderator, a neutral location, and candidates. None of them are made aware of any questions in advance. It's a level playing field. What's happening this evening gives, at least in my mind, the appearance of impropriety. I want to be clear, I'm in full support of a fair debate forum as business chamber, pardon me, recommended several weeks ago. My understanding is that the forum wasn't conducted due to COVID-19 concerns. And they advised me, these are concerns are voiced by yourself, sir, and other city officials. And I agree, very legitimate concerns. I'm wondering what's changed for this evening. If anyone here, if you'd like a fair debate, I'm game. And I'd like to participate, as I said,
no,
I think it's an excellent idea.
A little loud, but.
I think it's an excellent idea, my apologies. But I think the individual campaigns should concur on the moderator, the location, and the format before we proceed, and be given proper notice as well. It's an excellent idea, and I sincerely would like to participate, but I will not under these circumstances. I thank everyone for being here, and I ask for your understanding. You all have my phone number, you have my email, I'm accessible, and I'll meet anybody anywhere. Thank you, and you all have a good evening.
Mayor, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This is not a forum whatsoever. We have public comments. Are we going into executive session?
Yeah, we've finished. I mean, this is the same. Hey, Joe, do you want to wait for a report, or do you want to go around?
This isn't anybody's campaign forum.
This is the same thing we do every single.
About this, Jerry doesn't. I don't know. This isn't a campaign forum. This is public comments.
There's no questions. There's no. Hey, I'll debate you right now if you want to go. But I'm just telling you, there's no agenda here except information. You've had no problem disseminating your information in the neighborhoods. So you have an open forum to disseminate it tonight. But you're going to get challenged if you do. Because I am. I don't know about the rest of them. They're a lot nicer than I am. But my point is, there are people in this community that are hearing two totally different stories, and we're just sitting here to talk about it. I don't understand why that's an issue. Nobody's going to ask you a question. The questions are coming from the community, from anybody out here. You can ask any of us a question. There's nothing I won't answer. So at any point in time, but this is a service to our community is what this is. Now, y'all tell me if I'm wrong. I don't see anything that we're trying to do whatsoever in a nefarious way. And there was no reason to invite you because everybody's invited, every council meeting. So, if anybody, hey, there we go, we're going. So anybody got a comment, wants to pick up something and go from here, we can.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor. On the city Facebook page, my name is Shirley McCabe and I live on Bay Drive. The advertisement for this question and answer session that appeared on the city Facebook page indicated that it was a question and answer session, and all council and candidates were invited to participate. If that is truly what this is, I think I just heard you say that this is not going to be any type of a campaign event.
Nope.
So what is the purpose of having opposing candidates be here?
They don't have to be.
This is what we do. They don't have to be, but were you inviting them or not?
Well, Joe just said he wasn't invited. Now you say we did invite him and we shouldn't have. So
no,
I'm not
saying that at all.
Two of them.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the page post indicated that all candidates were invited.
They were.
Okay. So what you're saying tonight is that you're not going to let opponents voice their position. They might ask you questions, but they can't state their position or their policy.
That's not what it is. It's not a campaign forum. None of us are going to state our platform or our policies. We're here to answer questions.
Okay, so you're going to answer questions not as a candidate, but as a sitting council person. Is that correct?
I am both. You can't separate the two.
You want it two ways.
Please, we're wasting time. Please, there's no reason to go forward. This is an open forum for anyone like we do every single council meeting.
Okay, I'm asking for a clarifying.
If you got a question.
Yes.
I'm good. What is the question?
If opposing candidates are invited, what are they invited for?
To participate in the discussion. Just because they're citizens, too. They're citizens, we're mayor and council, but we're candidates. So the point is, if someone asks a question of Joe Fierro's stance on X, Joe gets to go up there and answer that question from that citizen, whatever it may be. Then I may say, well, Joe, I'm sorry, I disagree with that because that's not the case. Or I may say, that's exactly right.
Then it is a political meeting. It's a political meeting.
That's a debate.
I think you've been to our council meeting.
I have.
This is exactly what I do, and we do at every council meeting. There is no difference here. No difference.
Well, if you're inviting opposing candidates, it most certainly is.
You do not have to stay. You do not have to participate. Those of us that want to will stay, and we will discuss whatever we want to discuss. I don't understand your point and why you're belaboring. It's real simple. It is an open floor discussion. We have a campaign happening. There are questions out there. They just as well ask me, but you can ask me a question.
Well, let me finish with this. Will you consent, and will the other incumbent candidates consent to a free and impartial debate?
Ma'am, you're asking me?
Yeah. Your campaign or not.
That was not what this is. Excuse me. This is the open mic session that the mayor has at every single council meeting.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm asking you now. Will
I would
you
like
have
the
a
courtesy
time?
Of finishing my sentence as I listen to you, please.
Okay.
This is no difference. So if you ask us what our plans are for the new Coastal Resources Building, and someone has an idea that maybe we have not heard or maybe we want to consider, that's what will be discussed. This is not, I'm smarter than you, I'm better than you, I disagree with you. That's not what this is. It's the same open mic session that the mayor extends after every single meeting.
Well, it certainly is not framed that way. Maybe whoever is posting Facebook better have somebody get out their blue pencil and do some editing on that. It conveys the idea that this is going to be an open forum for opposing candidates.
However, I
ask you, yes or no, it's an easy answer. Will you consent to a free and impartial debate?
I will, yes. Anytime,
okay.
Any place.
How about you, Ms. Laylock?
I would consider that, yes.
How about you, Ms. Mitchell?
I would consider it.
Okay. So we'll set up a time, a date, we'll pick a moderator, and we can go to it. How's that?
Yeah.
Who's waiting?
Yeah.
Who's waiting?
Yeah.
But hurry.
The collective townspeople. We can set up anything we want.
What day?
Okay. Can we please proceed if it's okay? Thank you, ma'am. I am very sorry that this in any way was miscommunicated because that was not the intent. I don't understand. If you're a candidate for office and you have a strong platform, there is no place you won't show up to be heard or to answer. I don't understand that. If you're secure in your position, I mean, half sermon will travel where you won't be next. And so I don't know what the beef is. These candidates now have an opportunity to speak at a meeting that we run. I think it's extremely fair, and I think it's absolutely...
Thank you.
I don't know. Y'all help me out here, guys.
Is there any public questions?
Yeah, this is not a candidate forum. This is any or please. If you have public questions or comments...
There may be people here that came with a question.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Jeff Smith, 5504. This one's for Jeff. Is it in the city's best interest to break away the school system to itself?
I actually put something on Facebook about this yesterday because there's a lot of rumor. I think it's come from a couple of people that our intent is to break away. So I'm going to be real clear. This current council put our necks on the line to establish a city middle school and high school. We went all out, and the citizens of Orange Beach voted against it, plus all the ones that were bussed in that came in, because it were a bunch. But that was fine. The voice was heard, and that's what it was. We have a relationship right now with Baldwin County that is an absolute win-win. they build the school, they pay for the school, and they pay for all of the teachers and staff that's in the school. All the funds that we get to spend on things like Expect Excellence, Performing Arts Center, athletics, everything is bonus to make it a better school system. We would be crazy to want to leave that situation. Any business would be crazy. I will tell you this, it is smart stewardship, and in all the contracts we wrote, we protected ourselves with the buildings and the land, because if we ever get a superintendent that is against us or doesn't work with us, we have to have that right as a city. But I can tell you that I have zero intent, and anybody that I serve with that I'm aware of has zero intent. This is one of the most beautiful partnerships, and if you heard Superintendent Eddie Tyler the day of the ribbon cutting, he applauded the partnership as a new beginning in Baldwin County, basically. So we have zero intent, and I appreciate you asking that, because we're very, very proud to be Mancos and of who we are, and that we have our city school system, and we only wanted our own middle school and high school. We didn't really care how we got it, we just wanted it. Because when you leave the city and you put another name on it, your kids are no longer Orange Beach, they're now Gulf Shores High School. My kids all went to Gulf Shores Middle School and High School. I would have loved for my kids to have been Orange Beach Mancos all the way. People move here, they're moving here in droves because of our school system, and their kids are gonna get to be Orange Beach Mancos all the way. So, thanks, appreciate it.
I can't wait to have some, you know, children of my own go through as well.
You have to get married first, Jim.
Sounds occasional.
He's trying hard.
Well, I was going to change my mind to make it up. John McCabe on Bay Drive. You know, before coming here tonight, I thought I would look up the definition moderator, because that's exactly what you are. You're standing up there with the mic. You control the speech. You control the length of the discussion. You're
exactly.
A candidate for mayor. A moderator in a debate or a discussion is a person whose role is to act as a neutral participant in a debate or a discussion, holds participants to time limit, and to keep the matter in order. Now, my opinion, if this thing is going to go on, you shouldn't be there, someone else should be where you're standing, or somebody from our side should be up there with you. However, given
our side, what does that mean? Our side. I didn't know we had our sides in an election.
Well, you know my position. I don't need
no. No, please tell us.
Of course you do.
Our sides. What does that mean?
It means there's opposition, yeah. And I'm part of the opposition.
Okay, that's correct.
I love that. It's clear. It's been clear the whole time. But this is not a neutral setting. And I heard Ms. Mitchell and Ms. Blaylock say, when asked whether or not they would participate in the debate, said they would consider it. Does that mean yes or no? Say yes or no.
Sir, they don't have to answer in any way or the fashion they wish to answer. And you have no right to demand anything of them. That's
See, what now again, you're the moderator and you shouldn't be up there.
How many meetings have you been to?
You know I've been to.
Okay, have you ever seen me not be the moderator? Have you
this
ever said
different.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If again, Mr. McCabe, you do not have to participate, you do not have to stay. If you are accusing us as a nefarious type of thing, then you know what?
You can
There's
call
the ball
it
ball.
What you want. You can call this
a discussion.
A ball game. I don't care what you call it, but it's a political
I'm so
activity.
Sorry you feel that way. I'm so sorry you feel that way. I really am. I don't think that's the intention, but if it is, I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, my name is Mark Dickey. I live on Perdido Beach Boulevard. I have, I've heard a couple of suggestions today, one of which is we have people moving here in droves. The second suggestion is that now we're kind of flush with cash because of some of the rental properties and the taxes it's generated. I want to know what the city's going to do to start bringing in businesses. What is the plan to bring in more businesses? And toward that end, I have a concrete suggestion, and that is, can we get rid of some of these or reduce the amount of some of these permitting fees for businesses? We've got a lot of small businesses that would like to come to the area. They see that, and it's an impediment.
What specifically would you say is an impediment?
Well, let me give you a concrete example.
Sure.
My youngest son applied for a permit in the past, and his is not a great business. He has a drone and he has a photography business. It doesn't generate a lot of money, but he was tagged with a $150 permitting fee. And this
for a business license.
That's for a business license, correct. Now, this is, I look at this, I'm trying to figure out, and by the way, I've traveled throughout this country. I've seen some areas that are really failing.
Yes, sir.
This area is doing very, very well. But what can we do with all these people that are coming to this area to enhance the movement of professionals, to enhance the opening of businesses in this area? And my suggestion to you is, have you given any thought to perhaps suspending or reducing the permitting fees, the licensing fees for some of these small businesses, so they can, you know, as an example of getting them going, giving them an incentive to come here?
Are you talking about like a home-based business, or are you talking about someone that,
no, just licensing
you want, that wants to open a brick and mortar?
Well, yeah, a brick and mortar, anything that can be used to bring these people to this area. There are a lot of people out there, trust me, I just came back from kind of a tour of the Midwest, and there are a lot of cities that are really suffering right now, and I think a lot of kids would, and professionals, I think a lot of folks that are looking for a higher income would like to come to an area and establish a business. What are you and the council doing? What is the city doing to enhance these people and their ability to open up a business coming from a different location?
And I can't argue your perspective, because nobody likes taxes and fees. But I own a business here and I pay them, and my wife owns a business here and she pays them. I don't think they're prohibited. I think they're in line, if I'm not mistaken, with Gulf Shores and every other. Can you speak to that, Lanny, or who can speak to that?
I can speak to that.
Speak to that for them. We do surveys constantly. Secondly, what can we do? I think if you see who we are as a city, that's what we do. We are trying to get fiber in the ground to every residential home. We're putting up almost $2 million to make that happen. Clean environment, protected environment, safe environment, wonderful schools, growing property values. For me, I don't know how much more you can do than that to attract people. And that's why they're coming, because of what the city of Orange Beach does.
Right, but they come here as a place to live and
yes,
a place to buy rental property. I'm looking to get these people to come and stay and open up businesses.
We do. We don't have a shortage of people wanting to open businesses.
Well,
I don't mean to disagree again, but
okay, but what are we doing?
I see it every day.
I've seen tax increment financing for businesses. I don't know if I've seen that here. That's just a suggestion. And I'm looking for a broad base from our city leaders of what we can do to get professionals to come here. We still could use more medical services, especially emergency.
Medical services have nothing to do with anything except the demographics. It is strictly a matter of, that's my specialty is healthcare. Demographics is what limits our ability to recruit. We'd love to have a cardiologist, we'd love to have a dermatologist, we'd love to have an ENT, but you gotta get them to come. They've got plenty of business where they are, and to spend a day down here trying to grow a practice in a limited number, especially if you're in a permanent residence, it doesn't work. I have to disagree. We have professionals piling in here in every, especially with COVID. COVID has now taught corporate America that it's okay to work from home, and they're coming.
Well, Tony, I've got a law license.
Okay.
And there's no incentive, and I'm licensed here in Alabama. And there has been absolutely no incentive for me to hang out my shingle there. There are no.
My wife's an attorney, so I understand.
All right. The city doesn't hold forums for people, and I realize you might think that's a Chamber of Commerce issue. But I think it would help for the city to approve. I'm sorry, I'm stealing your
phone. Oh, no, you're fine.
No, okay, let me. What would we do? What would we do as a city to help you start a law practice? Because I'm confused.
One thing would be, and several times you see cities will actually open up and will acquire buildings and will sublease out these buildings. And I'm thinking
we have that building. The medical arts building is owned by us.
Well,
we bought the medical arts building for that exact same reason.
What about some professional offices? What about attorney's offices? The accountant's offices. I can tell you our accountant's office is over in Gulf Shores.
But there's plenty of executive offices available right now at the wharf where my wife is for $400 to $500 a month. I mean, there is affordability for any professional.
Your wife is not at the wharf.
No, I'm sorry. No, I said it. Okay, forget it. You're right. At the wharf and then at Cypress Village.
He said no side noises before if you were here.
I can't. I understand what you're asking of us. But I don't, sitting in my chair, see a shortage of opportunity for those who want to work. In my mind, if you come to Orange Beach, you do what you say you're going to do. When you say you're going to do it, do a good job, you will have more work than you know what to do. Is that like most people's experience?
Is it Mr. Dickey?
Yes, Dickey. German.
So there's I don't have an opposition, but I've been to many of the forums or town halls or neighborhood functions. And one of the common things I get from people are, we just moved here. What are you going to do to stop the growth? And my first comment is, it was great until you got here, but now we should shut the gates. And really, that's probably the number one thing we hear. In my tenure here, 8 years, we've never upzoned anything. I look, when a person wants to build a condominium, that first and foremost, do they have a right? And can we limit that right? Because we want to limit the most we can, we want the least amount of density. Every single condo we've worked with has lowered their density. When you look at a condo, for me, every time that door opens, it's a manufacturing plant. It's like they're making a widget. That is where we are as a tourist town. We would love to bring in fast food, but we don't dictate to someone that owns a franchise or a corporate office. I mean, Zaxby's was coming, they backed out. Popeyes is looking. We would love to have a Burger King or a Popeyes or a Taco Bell. We don't stop it in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, well, that prompts the question then, why did they not come? What could we have done to bring them here?
Well, there are many factors. Number one is the size of our census. We are a community of 6,000 to 7,000 people. Their numbers don't run to look at 120,000 people on the beach. They may look at them for 90 days, but they don't factor that in for the year. Their numbers don't show the real impact of what our shoulder season is right now.
Well, and I understand that completely. I know we're a tourism-driven area, but what can we do to make these businesses come here? How can we incentivize them to stay?
Well, I can tell you, it's land price. They've got to come in and, I mean, look at land price on Canal Road. Go find it. I mean, go talk to these people, which I do. They call all of us. The number one factor is land price. Does it justify them to spend $2 million on a piece of land to put up a Popeyes?
I'm just looking for some type of plan.
Well, I understand, but I appreciate you coming to the mic, but to come up there and say we should hold a forum to open so lawyers can open hang their shingle.
No,
if you're a good lawyer, hang your shingle and you'll succeed.
No, it's not just me. It's other businesses. I'm trying to see, and I say this because I've met some physicians who would love to settle in the area. They're going to end up over in Gulf Shores again. I'm trying to keep some of those people here, and my question is more than that. And I'll go ahead and say,
well, I chair the healthcare authority. We work tremendously. We work with South Baldwin. We'd have loved the 24-hour unit to be in Orange Beach. The numbers don't show it. The numbers show it for Gulf Shores. We partnered with them. Well, we got it closer. We would love for South Baldwin to have opened a branch down here. It's all about numbers. Do they go to Alberta, Robertsdale? Do they go higher to Summerdale? Where are the numbers and where is their most revenue coming from? South Baldwin's a privately held company, but community health systems.
We do have a plan. And our plan is to be the best we can be and create an environment that good companies want to bring employees because they want their employees to thrive in a community. From a demographic, Gulf Shores has a much stronger retail, and that goes into professional opportunities because their geographic location is such that they draw from Fort Morgan Road and they draw from the north. We are at the end of the line on the state line to the east. We're not getting anything from the Pensacola side. They're going to go to Gulf Shores, so they're not going to get to our side. And the toll bridge is somewhat of an inhibitor from people coming over to Orange Beach. So we have realized in all this time of looking at what we do and what we can do is, let's present the best place to live, and those that have fit our needs will move in and fill those niches, because we have a lot of niches more than larger cities. So that's been our plan all along. But the example, you had a great point. We did buy the medical arts building for that exact same reason, to give fair rent for docs to come in, and right now we have two vacant
right, I'm looking for a broader base, so again, the accounting
field. We also did things, I don't know how long you lived here, sir.
Three full-time and five total.
Sir?
I've lived here 3 years full-time.
We bought some land north of the bridge. You know where Columbia Southern is now located
yes.
at, Baldwin EMC? We bought that probably for business relocation. We still have acreage up there that's available. Gentleman right behind you in the black shirt with the shield, that's Alan. You may want to introduce yourself to Mr.
Okay.
Allen.
He needs an attorney.
This gentleman also.
He does economic development.
Economic development.
Thank you.
But you bring up a good question.
Yeah, let Jared.
You bring up a good question. What we do, our plans are working beautifully. We have a clean city. We're a safe city. Very little crime here. You have a city that is robust. You have an economy that's robust. When you have those things, and the country has a robust economy, COVID slowed it down a little bit, it's getting ready to come out of the door big time. You don't need government incentives to bring a business here. You need just all the characteristics of what a business wants to look for, and they will come.
Well, I appreciate that.
But we're not in the business of having government dollars trying to bring business here because the economy is strong. If we were in a recession, if we were in a depression, incentives would work. And we know we have been there. But right now, that's not needed. We're trying to make a beautiful community, and we have made a beautiful community because they're coming here from everywhere because it's clean, it's safe, and it's very family-oriented. And that's what people want. We now have schools that they can grow a family here, and they can enjoy all the benefits, and yet you're still a small city. We're 6,000 full-time residents. You don't get on the radar of any fast food, even with our tourists, because tourists is a cyclical type thing. So they have to see density and how many people are going to go through. Everybody, I love Chick-fil-A. It's my favorite fast food. I don't even call it fast food. It's a family-oriented restaurant. We're not even on their radar screen.
So
and Jeff Shores isn't either.
I'm going to take it then that the answer is we don't have a plan, and that we cater more primarily toward, and I'm speaking candidly.
You go ahead.
And catering more toward this as being a residence. And I'm looking.
That's not what we just said.
Well, that's the gist of what I'm hearing. But I was wondering if there were any incentives on the books, and I think you answered that question.
No incentives. We don't need incentives.
I'm just trying to get some of the people down here, you know, so. My thinking in traveling all around was to look at all the folks that are suffering out there, trying to bring some of these...
Who's suffering?
Well, a lot of people in the Midwest.
Midwest?
I'm from the Midwest.
And we're going to attract people from Midwest. We're going to have an incentive program to attract people from the Midwest.
I moved here from the Midwest.
Yeah. No.
No, I'm just... No. Like,
okay.
All right.
I'm just saying... We don't have to have the businesses are coming. We don't have the density to locate them. An incentive is not going to make any difference. We don't have enough people that will go through their turnstiles to make them money. Now, we're growing at a great pace. The thing that we could do, the things that we go after is full-time families, one or two wage earners in that family. When they come here, what's the one thing that they could use and still operate? We've got Pensacola Airport within 30 minutes from us. They can fly anywhere in the world. They want great internet service. They have to have that in order to operate from a home type situation. That's what we're doing. We're putting a lightning speed internet service through a fiber connection to every home in Orange Beach. That's going to attract young families, young professionals that will come here. When you get that demographic here, then the small businesses look at that because they can reach out to that demographic. But for us to have an incentive plan, what you're wanting is an incentive plan to attract business, and we don't need it.
Well, you say that, but yet I'm sitting here as a small businessman, and I fly up north at least once a month.
Yes.
And I sit here and I go, what could the city do to help small businessmen, not just me, but like me, to be able to allow their businesses to take off? How can we get some accountants down here?
Yes.
How can we get a microbrewery?
Yes.
How can we do some of the things that some of the creative things?
I'm just going to ask you your last thing.
All right.
The Small Business Development Center. We have representatives right here that have resources for every aspect of your business. They got capital access to great money that if a business needs to set up or if they need to grow, that is accessible. And if they need marketing, if they need a strategic plan, if whatever they need, the Small Business Development Center provides it. and they are very good. That is through the University of Alabama. They are the umbrella for the entire state. We have Small Business Development Center representatives and consultants throughout the state. Now, Alabama has 35 for the entire state of Alabama. Florida has 835 for the entire state of Florida. That's just the difference in the density of the population. So if you want to help, I understand what your last question was. If you want help with the business and to help them set up Small Business Development Center, and their services are all free.
All right.
Let me say one thing.
Sure.
I really appreciate you taking our job, you challenging me, because right now there's more information disseminated about this subject than most anybody in this room has ever heard before. So they're going to go out of here with some idea of what we're doing and what the problems with incentivization it may be, what the problems with recruiting may be. This is what this is supposed to be about. Disseminating. So it is appreciated, but what's funny is what we need is a year-round economy, which means we have a year-round to incentive. But if you ask 8 out of 10 people in this city, but Memorial Day, oh, we need to slow down. We need to slow down. We
got
I feel that way. I need a break. But you see what I'm saying? It's a dichotomy, because the business people have another perspective of life and desire for our city versus the retirees who see it in a totally different way. Neither one's right. Neither one's wrong. It's just trying to find a middle ground for that perspective.
Right.
But thank you.
You brought up a point that I want to ask for.
I'm listening.
Are our business license in line with community surrounding us?
Absolutely. Our affording only finance director, our business licenses are based on their one-time fee annually, and then they're based on gross revenues, and it falls in line with what the state is doing, falls in line with what Gulf Shores is doing. We haven't raised normal business licenses since I've been here, and I'd have to go dig through the books to try to figure out the last time we did, besides when we had it.
Approximately how many new businesses do we have come in per month for a business license?
I'd have to go back and look exactly, but I think in 2019 we had between about 100 and 170 new business licenses that were not condo rentals. Mm-hmm. So that is significant.
It is. Thank you.
Remind me, because he made the statement we're flush with cash. We need to talk about, yeah, we're flush with cash, but it is all identified and will be spent. So we'll go through that sheet in a little bit. Yes, ma'am.
Tina Diaversa, 27465 East Beach Boulevard. I'm a little confused tonight because I didn't know that this part of the council meeting was going to happen. I come pretty often, except I was sick for a while, to the council meetings. And I didn't realize that this part, which is different from community as a whole and from the council meeting, was going to happen. Now, when they were suggesting that the statement was that the other candidates were going to participate in this, should they not come to the front so they can maybe can be a part of the dialogue?
Sit anywhere they want, go to the microphone anytime they wish. And I don't know what you're confused about, because we do this every council meeting. Every council meeting. There's nothing happening here that doesn't happen every council meeting.
During community in the hall?
No. We always move to the end. Yes.
So it's actually on the agenda of the regular council meeting, but we always hold it on open discussion. Okay.
Yeah, that's all this is.
I do. I think it's semantics, so to speak. Yeah. But this is different. I mean, you guys would all agree that this is different than public comments. It is a week before the election. And
so we should
that
not
makes
have
it. No, I'm not suggesting that. I actually think it's a good idea.
Thank you.
I just wish that maybe we had it advertised a little better. I'm not always on Facebook, but you know, I would suggest that, and I don't know how many of the other candidates are here, but I know that Mr. Fierro is here, and he came up and made a statement. I think he felt like he was not invited properly, simply because this is a different environment. And I'm just trying to be the kind of a balancer in all of this, because I sat back and listened, and I would love to hear from all of you guys. I mean, that's why I come to the council meetings. I like hearing the comments that you have. I mean, we've already heard some things tonight that many of us have not heard in a long time, so I think it's not a bad idea. But I would suggest that they come to the front and participate if it's going to be that type of an open discussion and dialogue. And thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have another question?
I'll come up here. I need to exercise.
Amen, brother.
Yes. Robert Stewart, 5550 Pinewood Circle. First, I appreciate everybody that takes on the challenge to serve, period. And then when you put yourself out there representing a municipality like Orange Beach, Alabama, I just say kudos. And to those that are running, to those that are serving, thank you. I'm a little confused, since we're talking about confusion, because there's been an unmoderated debate going on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So there's all these questions that are out there, right? And there's things that people won't come out and say on Facebook because it's like they don't want it on the record. So the first thing about, so I ran for District 5, Baldwin County Board of Education, and I cannot wait to take over in November. I can tell you this, that I ran just as hard for Elberta and for Swift School as I did for Orange Beach. And my plans are to serve the community of Bonsecure and Elberta with the same vigor and enthusiasm as I serve Orange Beach. And at no time has anyone, so it came up in my election, oh, he's just running to help the city break away. Okay, I have that much power, right? I have that much power.
Almost as much as me.
Right, I know. But this is, so, and I think it's funny now, that sounds like somebody said their side, your side, right? Your side all of a sudden doesn't feel uncomfortable with being in this environment. You're running for public office. You're running for public office. Okay, so let's throw something out there that, hey, let's just have a debate. Well, let's talk about today. I want to give you some debate material. One of the rumors that goes around town, the first thing I hear is about cutting off, or their group think there's too much money being spent on the schools. The only one that had enough guts to say anything was Mrs. Diaversa. Nobody else from your group has come out and said anything about trying to cut the money from the school. They come out with these wild ideas about having this private beach for citizens, which that's great. I hope that that'll work. But how does that look? There's 7,000, let's say 6,000 residents in Orange Beach. Let's say on July 4th, a third of them want to go to the beach. Where do you put 2,000 people on the beach? Where do you park 2,000 people? It's great to pull something out of your wife's mouth.
Be careful.
Wife's mouth. I can say it about my wife, but I pull it out of her mouth. Right? It's easy to come up with these ideas and to throw darts. But how do you make it work? How do you make something like that work? I've been here a long time, and I just don't see how that'll work. But hey, it gives us something to run on. The thing that seems to be the big question that circles around in all these different circles is Mr. Fiaro was the police chief. Mr. Fiaro resigned as the police chief, and if he has a public forum now to say why he resigned, and if he doesn't want to address it, let's address it on Facebook. Let's address it on Facebook, or let's try to have a debate in the last few days left, and let's discuss it, right? Because I think everybody in this city needs to know and have an informed vote about all the matters before us. All the matters, you know? And I'm just tired of one of your group.
Well, you must be the other group.
I'm just speaking.
Please.
I don't know who you are, so I'm not speaking to you. But I'm just speaking to you because I probably should do that either. But anyway, yeah, his group. So my thing is this, maybe there's a great reason, maybe there isn't. But I think it's time to put everything on the table so that the citizens of Orange Beach can make an educated decision on who they want to lead this city for the next 4 years. And again, I appreciate you. I appreciate those that are running. I know how trying it is to campaign. So I thank you all.
I'll answer that question. As far as money on the school, I've not made any negative comments regarding the school. I support the school. So I'm not going to even address that issue unless somebody has a specific reasonable question. As for Mr. Stewart and Facebook, I've made no comments on Facebook. Nothing. I've been attacked on Facebook. I've been attacked for leaving the police department as to why. I've been attacked for a lawsuit I have with my builder, which has absolutely nothing to do with any of this, and a myriad of other issues that I won't weigh down everybody with. As far as the private beach goes, yes, I've supported that since the inception of my campaign. I don't know any time, Robert, that everybody in town has tried to go to the beach at the exact same time.
Is it a third?
Even a third. I've got.
Hey, Ron, please.
I'm just trying to answer your question. Either way, it's a quality of life issue. I've talked to a lot of people, Mayor, who mentioned that. You're absolutely correct. What consistently comes up, because I am listening to them, is that they can't get to the beach. It's nobody's fault. We have incredible tourism here. Everybody's done a good job bringing people. I'm not insulting anyone. What I'm saying is, I'd like to do something to improve our qualities of life, or our quality of life. And I believe that the proper piece of beachfront for a beachfront town is a reasonable accommodation to make for our citizens. Some may disagree. Not everybody's going to agree. I get that. But for most of the people I've talked to, it's something they desire. It's something, if elected, I will pursue. As far as my resignation goes, Mayor's chief executive, we had philosophical differences regarding the operations and management of the police department. When I came here, I submitted a plan to the council and the mayor, roughly 16, 18 pages conceptual plan regarding technologically advancing the police department, professionalizing it, introducing 21st century policing principles as outlined in the presidential study that was done. We accomplished many of those things. A lot of people say, is it 2 years, 3 years? No, it was four. And actually, I worked for about 5 months, which many people don't know, prior to that, for free. I came down here when I was on leave with the FBI. So I'll straighten that out now. So really, it was over 4 years. I chose to leave. I chose to resign, and that's it. I'm not at liberty to discuss additional details regarding that. I don't know why it's so important. I served with honor. I served my country. I served this city. There are no complaints, man. There may have been some. I'm not perfect. But I think most people were happy with the service offered by the PD. I'm not going to tell you every officer loved me. That's the mantle of leadership.
Well, tell us who did love you. I think that'd be an easier question to ask.
Why don't you ask the officers yourself, sir?
We have, I promise you.
So have I.
You've opened this can of worms, so.
There officer, what philosophical difference? No, mayor, I'm not running against you. It's not a debate, and we're not going to discuss this.
You brought me into it, sir, when you said we had philosophical. What philosophical differences, sir?
Management and operation of the police department. Pardon me?
I was the boss.
I said that, you're the chief executive.
Exactly. But what philosophical differences?
specifically.
That is why people resign, because there are differences.
Okay, well, I have 8 to 10 directors that have been with me for 12 years. They're still with me.
You had a fire chief leave.
I had a fire chief leave at the time, Reporty Howard. We got a great relationship. Billy Wilkins left. Great, great gentleman with a great relationship. And, you know, I seem to be able to get along with most every one of my directors. So, again, you brought up philosophical differences. You opened a can of worms and you probably should not have. You probably should have left it alone, because you probably crossed the line now. And
I didn't say anything negative, no. And I was asked the right question. I gave a direct answer.
Well, then you need to answer the question honestly.
Well, you seem to want to say something, Mayor. Why don't you just say
it? I don't have to. Point is, there's been a public records Freedom of Information Act request by multiple citizens. We have to deal with that as a city. Mr. Fiora was contacted about the fear of Freedom of Information Act. He objected to anything being released. We at this time now have decided we have no choice, because we have the responsibility of providing information for anyone that makes that Freedom of Information request. We have the obligation of trying to do the right thing by personnel. So we're going to a judge, and the judge will decide what should be released, if anything. That's public information. Nothing there I'm sharing that's not in the public domain. So I think at this point in time, if you wish to remove your objection, we'll be glad to share whatever you wish us to share. If not, we'll just let the judge decide what should be shared.
It's totally you know very well why I objected.
Okay.
I objected because you're seeking to release information you never advised me of. Information and complaints you never showed me. Information and complaints you never discussed with me.
Okay. Would you like
to say? I don't think it should be released.
I understand. And you have every right to feel that way.
And I think there's an intent to release false, misleading information that will definitely influence this election.
Sir,
I'm leaving.
Then you need to talk with the citizens that asked that.
I'm leaving. I'm not here to debate you. You violated your own terms.
Right. Hey, you got an attorney?
Yeah.
How about
them
7 or 8 women filed
a complaint,
don't you?
Hey, shut up, man.
Sir, no, please, sir.
Hey.
Please.
Hey!
Why do y'all have to ruin it?
That's enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, please understand, we are in a very precarious situation. As mayor, I have no choice. I have no choice but to find and lay the facts out. I'm not the one. We're not the one who filed the Freedom of Information Act. We're the ones who received it from citizens and have to deal with it. It is our obligation, and I think our responsibility, to explain the process. It's unfair to us to have this out there in the public domain and it being commented upon by whoever without us being able to explain the process. That is the process. That is what's going on. That's factual. It's not meant to be anything to do with an election. Can't help when those citizens filed that Freedom of Information Act. I'm sorry, but that's what has happened. So,
did you explain all of your actions? No,
I believe there's
Yes, Ms. Diaversa.
Tina Diaversa, 27465 East Beach Boulevard. Is the city attorney available? Tonight?
She is. Where are you at?
On there. On the street.
And anything I've talked with tonight,
Ms. Wanda?
Excuse me. Everything I've just relayed to you tonight has been at the attorney's advice as to what we should relay to the community. If this subject brought up, I can't help that it's wrong, but I have the obligation to tell folks what is happening, and I think it's only fair. So, Wanda?
I think that, you know, there's been some terrible indiscretions committed here this evening, and you know, I don't know that this city has an ethics ordinance, but I know that the state does. And there's got to be something that would preclude a citizen from coming to the podium asking a question when it's been set up as a discussion by the mayor council, inviting the candidates for election
And when they respond, it's seemed like an ambush to me. Now, it's been stated a few times here tonight that there are sides in the room. I have supported one new candidate for office and got to know him as the police chief for 4 years. He's of impeccable character and really loves this city as much as I do, which is why I've supported him for his high credentials. And there are there is a council that has high credentials that I support as well. But I would ask you, if you don't mind, and I can follow up with you tomorrow, or maybe you want to follow up. I'll follow up with you tomorrow. I'd love to find out and appreciate finding out if this is all legal, at the least, from a state perspective, ethical, and possibly the Secretary of State could answer, and you know, maybe you have that knowledge in and of itself. But I do think that this seemed kind of like an ambush tonight. And again, there's no sides. I'm not on any side. I support Joe Fierro for election. I've been very above board with that. I've supported other council members for re-election and for election. So I just want to state that, but also ask that somehow we follow up from a legal perspective as to the conducting of this meeting.
Wanda, will you please explain what's going on here? But I think, please understand, this is public knowledge. This is in the public domain. This is going to be all over Facebook. It is.
I understand.
Exactly. So we have just laid out what it is factually. It ain't an ambush. It's just facts. So would you please, can you hear us, Wanda?
I texted her. She said she could hear, but it was a little garbled.
For the record, I've stated this is a public comment here, not a forum, not a campaign forum, but it's turned into it, apparently. Okay? So we're still open as a council meeting here for these public, and we have to go into executive session. Is that correct?
No, we are we're in committee of the whole.
We're in committee of the whole.
We adjourn the council.
That's right.
We're in the committee of the whole.
But we do have another meeting.
Again, that is a comment. That comment would have been made if it was in the council chambers. Possibly that comment would have been made whether we,
as muted.
It's just a comment. And have we ever turned anybody down at the mic and said, you can't make a comment?
No.
That's my point. I mean, this is what we do.
No, but I mean, any self-respecting person is going to see that this became a banter back and forth. And I mean, we're not here to, you know, to defame or to, this should have been the Q&A that it was presented at the onset to be. I just like for Ms. Wanda to follow up and to give us that legal opinion.
Where are we at with Wanda?
Doesn't sound like it's going to be tonight, because I don't think she's...
No, it's going to be tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve Versa. I respect that you're coming up, and you've always been polite. You come to a lot of city council meetings.
Okay. What was the question?
I sit here uncomfortable. I don't like situations like this. For the people that are in the room that feel uncomfortable, such as I do, I don't think anyone, well, some do, but most of us don't like when there's conflict, and it's painful. The sad part of this situation is that there is conflict. There is an underlying frustration, and I want to just say, from my council standpoint, there was no preparation at all. I thought it was a good idea to open the mic because a lot of people are asking questions, and I would rather it be open to where everyone has input.
Let me ask you a question, though, if you don't mind. So, even if Joe wasn't my dear friend, and I'm friends with many of you, he was put on the spot for a non-disclosure agreement that was the city's non-disclosure agreement.
How do you know there's a non-disclosure agreement?
I just have seen the stuff on Facebook, like everybody else is talking about it.
Then it's not a non-disclosure.
I may have to bail out on Facebook.
You know what? Is all we have to say?
No, non-disclosure. When somebody resigns, that often happens. That is not atypical, and that is not something that I wouldn't have read between the lines and thought of on my own. No confusion there. All I'm saying is, for someone to ask him that question, for him to answer, and it seemed like he answered very professionally. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it needed to get to this back and forth, and it seems like a
I agree, but at the same time, I think this conversation is happening all over town. Every time someone goes somewhere and asks, I can't comment. I just say no comment if I get asked about it. And I would not have had the courage probably to come up in front and ask that question and pose it. But at the same time, I think in the fact that we are a small town, we have an election in a week, and it is probably the question at the forefront of most people's minds. I understand why it was asked. And I've heard the question over and over and over, and I tell people I can't discuss it.
And do you not think, because I accepted this, when I heard that he had resigned, I was sitting on a committee with the public safety group that I, you know, really appreciate being a part of. And I was shocked, you know, and I asked the question, and the answer was, well, I have a non-disclosure. We had some differences of philosophical opinion on how I should run the department, and so I resigned. And I thought that was reasonable.
And my opinion on this is that, number one, I apologize to anyone here that feels uncomfortable. That it is what happens in an election cycle. Mr. Fierro did choose, after his resignation, to run for public office. When you run, you put all of your friends, their money, their time, your signs in their front yard, and an enormous amount of emotion in it. And there's an enormous amount of emotion in here right now. I hope we all walk out of this next Wednesday as good neighbors. I do not like this. I wish it was an election where it was just cordial. You brought great ideas, and somebody said, I like
this. You're right, that doesn't happen.
This is not what happened
in your city.
This is not what happened in this election. It has gotten deep. It has gotten rooted through police departments and fire departments and every staff that had to work. And there's just a lot of energy and emotion. And I think what's happened is the pinnacle of it has just arisen. And I hate that it has arisen in this format. But I think at some point it was coming, and whether it was a debate, a moderated debate, an open town forum, I think it's better here than it was on Facebook.
Well, for the future, a moderated debate, I think, would have been a little
appropriate
and respectful for our
this
city.
This is not a debate.
And not attacking people personally would have really been better.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Well, I'll call tomorrow. Call the office.
No, we're going to figure out what's going on here, because I want everyone to hear the facts.
Wanda
says, please understand. Yeah. Mr. Fierro should have said no comment. Period. That would have been end of discussion.
But he was pretty professional.
No, ma'am.
If you look back on it. Yes, he was.
That's not the point. That's not the point. He had no leeway to make a comment whatsoever.
But
he violated. He had no leeway.
Why did you have the leeway then?
Because he drugged me into it, because his reasoning for resigning was because of philosophical differences. But that may not have been the case.
So you could have said, we didn't have any philosophical differences. I mean, you could have stated your opinion.
I'm not going to argue that point anymore. The point is, he legally was obligated to say, no comment, I can't discuss this, period. That was his obligation.
Well, it's a real shame, because he's very high integrity, and he has high credentials, and just like with everybody, you know, that's serving here, and others have said before, and I have been in your shoes, I thank you all for your service, and I'll look forward to Wanda's comment.
She was waiting on the dialogue to stop before she commented.
Tina.
Yeah. Wanda, can you hear?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I can't hear you. Can you hear
me? Yeah. Bring it up.
Where's the microphone?
They're going to bring it up through the Wanda's channel. Bring that up. All right, go ahead, Wanda.
And I apologize because the audio has been somewhat garbled. But I will say this. The procedure that the place you are right now is at a committee of the whole meeting, which is a work session, which traditionally there is a section of the meeting where people are allowed to bring up any subject that they want. Not every city does that, but this city, at least as long as I've been here, has done that. And it's kind of, you know, a free-for-all. Anybody that wants to say something can. And what I gather from the comments is that there was some sort of expectation that this was a forum, a formal debate. I have been on Facebook to look, so I don't know what it said, but it's clear to me that it is not that. Generally, debates and so forth are sponsored by third parties like the League of Women Voters or some other civic organization, and they arrange it and all of that. That is not what this meeting is. So I just want to make it clear, this is a committee of the whole meeting, and it's the portion of the meeting where the public can get up and ask any question of anybody, and that is perfectly fine.
Would you please explain the legal aspects of what's going on so that it will be clear that what I have relayed to the public is what is public on the Freedom of Information Act?
Did you catch that, Wanda?
I did not.
He was asking if the information that was relayed about the Freedom of Information Act, if you would explain that portion to the people in the room. Did you get that?
I did not. The feed that's coming from your microphone is very good. Maybe it's the portable microphone that's the problem.
Okay. Mayor, the microphone she's picking up from is actually on this camera here, so if you would just ask it, you know, closer to there.
Would it help if we turn these off?
Can you hear me, Wanda?
Yes.
Okay. I've been in the untenable position of having
no.
No.
Somebody fix it.
Yeah.
Can we just call?
Yeah, just I would do it on the phone.
Telephone.
Yep.
Chris, you're very loud and clear. Can you let the mayor have your mic? Is that possible?
You're just.
I'm not on a microphone. But yeah, maybe it's coming off the. Maybe it's working off the computer.
Can you
now.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I've been put in a very untenable position of trying to explain the Freedom of Information Act and the process, and I want you to relay to them what is public, what should be known, so that it doesn't look like this was some ambush or anything other than it's better to be explained here in public in the right way rather than it being on Facebook and going round and round and round. So can you take that, please?
Yes, I will. So, as you may know, Alabama has a state law called the Alabama Open Records Act, and it applies to all public agencies, including the Orange Beach City Council. And basically, the act says that citizens have the right to inspect and copy any public record. What is or isn't public is not easily defined, and there's, in order to make those decisions, you have to read case law. But the basic notion is that if it's a public record, it should be disclosed upon request, and there are some exceptions. So in this particular instance, the city has received requests from two individuals who have asked for personnel records concerning Chief Yarrow's time as police chief. The city, because there may be things in those records that would be harmful to Mr. Fiera, there may be things in those records that could be harmful to parties who are not employees or who are other employees, other people who aren't party to any of this could be harmed. The city could be exposed to liability if they disclose the wrong information, and it's not entirely clear what is or isn't public. So in this situation, my recommendation to the mayor and council is that the only course of action that would be fair would be to file an action in Ball County Circuit Court and ask the judge there to review the records in camera. And that means that the judge, we hope, will review the records in the privacy of his office, take a look at them, and ultimately make a decision one way or the other about which records are public and which records aren't. Now, understand, part of that is if a record, if the judge decides that a certain record can be released, he may also decide that certain things should be redacted from that record. Social security numbers, for example, would be redacted. Other personal information and perhaps the identity of certain people in those records. So that is what the lawsuit is about, because there is a legitimate legal question about whether the records relating to Mr. Fierro's time as police chief are public and should be disclosed or not. And the city is in the middle, because if they produce everything, they could be violating Mr. Fierro's rights. And if they don't produce everything, they could be violating the rights of those citizens who have asked for the records to be demanded. And in that situation, I don't know of anything to do other than to go to court and try and get a ruling from somebody who is impartial and knows the law. Does that help?
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Does anyone, I would hope you understand exactly why we said what we said. I mean, I felt it was imperative that you hear the reasoning, the process, so that it is not, y'all can imagine what would be, what it would happen, because it is a now on docket, I guess is the word. Anybody's attorney help me there. There will be media that will see it most likely. It will be seen, it will become public, and it will go round and round and round, and there's no telling of what it will end up looking like. I think we've laid out exactly what's happening. It's very clear, very concise, and I hope that that's all that's said about it. And it was never pointing a finger at, yes, he's bad, yes, he's good. It is, we're not getting in the middle of this. This is the judge's call, period. And the legal department has handled this from the day the Freedom of Information Act has entered our building. It has been strictly handled by the legal department. So, I guess, is that clear enough?
Yep.
Okay, David. Yeah, there's a microphone.
Just about everybody knows we've been right here for 27 years. Worked for the police department for a very long time. Worked with Chief Brown, and he was my supervisor for many, many years. Also worked with Chief Fierro for a short time. But I want to, before I start on that a bit, I want to tell City Council and the Mayor what an incredible job y'all have done for this city. I've been here for, like I said, a long, long time. And for what y'all have done for the Orange Beach Elementary School, the middle school, and the high school is unbelievable. And thank y'all. Y'all know when I was retiring in my retirement ceremony, I looked at y'all and said, we got something special coming. And y'all lived up, and I said, we gotta get the school out. And y'all lived up to exactly what you said you was gonna do. We got some incredible principals here. They've allowed me to come on that campus and coach over there. I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed, because when I first come to Orange Beach, and Joni asked me to help with the softball program, she kept starting it up, her and Carolyn Vines. And I come on board, and when I was walking on that field, I was walking that gym back there. My goal in life, one of my goals was, to be a basketball coach and a softball coach in Orange Beach. And the good Lord blessed me. He's blessed me with that opportunity. Thank y'all so much, because that means so much to me. If I didn't want to be remembered as a police officer or anything like that, I want to be remembered as a coach. That's what I was really born to do, to be honest with you. I've worked several cases with people that's in here. Several cases. And they know I gave everything I got to give when I work a case. I do. I've done it. And as a lot of times I told people, I missed my daughter's very first basketball game, our very first softball game, because I was working cases. Because I didn't leave nothing, no catch, no stone unturned. I got after it. Lieutenant, I mean, just Chief Brown, keep on looking, did the same thing. I worked with some great people, Cliff Roberts back there, Chief of Alberta, you know. But I'm going to tell you, during my time, after Chief Fierro came in, I to be honest with you, I seen things that I just didn't think was done right. The way that certain women was treated within the police department. It broke my heart to see people like Gina Lee and Lisa Johnson and Chris and different ones get talked to the way they got talked to and got mistreated the way they got mistreated. And that's the reason why I support Johnny Blaylock. Because of that reason right there. Myself had a medical situation. And I didn't ask for a brain tumor. I didn't ask for it. It happened. I couldn't shoot as good as he used to. Chief Brown tried to protect me as much as he can. And he said, well, just don't need to, just don't let it out, baby. And I said, when it got to be, I felt like it was a danger for other officers. That I couldn't shoot as good as I used to. If I get out on the scene and I couldn't shoot and protect an officer or protect someone or protect kids in the school, it was time for me to try to find another position within the police department. I went to Chief Fierro. I said, I'll take a pay cut. I'm trying to get a daughter through college. I was making $29 an hour as a sergeant. I had to be cut all the way down to patrolman. Pay $20, $19 an hour. I said, I could be a crime scene investigator and still come out on crimes and don't have to be certified. I can register sex offenders and don't have to be certified. I could be in charge of the evidence room and don't have to be certified. Because I was doing all that. I could pull videotapes. Don't have to be certified. I could teach driving school. You don't have to be certified. He told me he didn't have a position for me. He had one in jail working on the weekends and cut my pay to $14 an hour. And I couldn't get any overtime. I could be on support services, making the same amount of money. But then you could do all the rest of the stuff too. That's what he told me. I didn't think it was a fair thing. That ain't how you treat your employees that's been with this city for 20-something years. And we had great officers like Gina Lee and Cliff Roberts and all great officers that left. He said, why did people leave it? We didn't want to leave. We didn't. The working conditions was not that good. And you could ask a lot of officers. Going up on people's private property because you want to make numbers? Walking into Phoenix's condos? Because you want to make numbers? When that's private property, without a call, you going up there, going in the hallways, arresting people? When a lot of us disagree with that? That's a violation. I got people to back me up on that. You go on in Greg Robson's property without being called, walk them halls at Holiday Inn Express, and you're pulling kids out. It's for numbers. That's wrong. I'm going to tell you, that police department, since Chief Brown took over, the officers are courteous. They're nice. They're friendly. They help elderly people. They help people that's got a flat tire on the side of the road. It wasn't like that before. You know? And I'm sorry. This is the way I feel. And this is what happened to me. And this is coming from inside somebody that worked there. Chief Wilkins treated me with respect. Chief Vincent treated me with respect. I came in one time at their girls' basketball game, and Chief Wilkins would always say, "David, how'd your girls do? How'd your girls do tonight?" And it's exciting. Because you know what? We're supposed to be community relations. We're supposed to build relationships with young people. That's what we do. That's what policemen are supposed to do. Serve and protect. I come in one day, "Chief Arrow, the girls did good tonight." He said, "I don't give a blankety blank about them girls. You need to be a better police officer." I love Orange Beach and I love this community. I've loved it since the day I got here. And I'm just telling you what my experiences was. But thank you for the city of Orange Beach for everything they're doing. The rec center, it's unbelievable. That's not all cities don't do that. It's just like this summer, not charging during hard times. How many cities do you know that would let kids in free? We did it. The city provided that. Look at the fitness center. Look at the rec center. Look at the ballparks. Look what this city council has done for all age groups. Young, middle class, elderly. This city has done so much. And thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. And thank you for your time. I probably got long-winded. They said I should have been a preacher.
Probably should have all this coming. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say?
Mayor, can I just say one thing?
Yes, sir.
I'll be quick. I know everybody needs to get home, especially the principals back there. I know what kind of work day you got.
I'm Joe Cardwell, and I live in 4101 Martin 8 Court. I'm trying to find one bright spot tonight in this whole deal. I really am. At least I want to congratulate everybody that, whether incumbent or seeking election. To my knowledge, I don't believe we've had the trouble that our friends up west of us here have had with yard signs being stolen. If they have, I don't know anything about it. So if there's one bright spot, thank goodness we didn't have yard signs being taken up and like the people over there. Doesn't make us any better than them, but we got our own problems, but we didn't have that I know of.
They don't have Chuck.
That's right. He keeps.
I wish that were true.
But seriously, one thing I want to say. The only thing that I've been disappointed about, I ran this first time I ever run for anything, and I think everybody ought to do it one time, but going more than one time, they might put you away somewhere. The little guys with the little white suits take it. The thing that I want to make perfectly clear tonight is I am not in any type of political coalition. I never have, I never will be. I run for one place against a lady that's never done anything to me, and I can't say anything bad about her. But I'm running for one place, one spot. I'm not running against the city of Orange Beach. Lord knows I love this city. I love everything about it. How far would I want to hurt it? I simply think democracy operates better when people have choice. That's my reason for running. I think I do a pretty decent job, but I can assure you this, if I'm not elected, I'm not leaving here. My friends, if we're not friends, it'll be because of you, not me, I want to get that off my chest because some people accuse me of being in some kind of political court. I don't have to address, you tell I'm not in an investment group or anything, but that old truck that I drive out there, you know that. But not that there's anything wrong with those people. I like them. But
that's worth more than most Cadillacs around here.
We talk about rumors and all that type of stuff. You might hear rumors, but I'm not in a political coalition. And I'm not in a political, with incumbents or people being elected. That's the only way, that's what, the only way you can be in politics. You need to be obligated to the people that elect you and put you in there. That should be your only obligation, in my opinion. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
And it's strictly just comment, no question, I think. David Shank, 5350 Pompano. I guess just comment the fact that you guys know me. I don't come to these things at all, ever. When I read on Facebook, I thought this was a debate, a question. You know, ask questions between the candidates. So look at your Facebook page. Okay, that's only comment. Like I said, I don't ever come to these. So
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Can I say one last thing, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
So when I raised the question with Chief Fiaro, it was nothing about integrity. It was simply about when someone ceases to serve and you were an employee, then, and again, with everything, all the scuttlebutt going around town, everybody wanting to know and nobody knows, that gives you the perfect opportunity that you can answer and he can say things. And so I wasn't saying anything about his integrity. I got along with Joe Fiaro when he was police chief. But I love Orange Beach, and I love people that love Orange Beach. And I just want to make sure that we have the best representation going forward. Now, I've got a question for y'all. When we get in the gun range? We need a gun range.
We're working on it.
Okay, all right, good. So that's my question to y'all.
It takes a lot of dirt.
Yeah, it takes a lot of dirt.
Hey, Robert, I want to say one more thing. Y'all talking about Facebook, and I'm going to be honest with all of y'all. I never even had a Facebook account until about 2 months ago. Somebody said, hey, Coach, you need one of them to communicate. It's free and all that. I'll tell you this. On the 26th, if we don't get into elections on the 25th, on the 26th, I'm going to cut every bit of that. Oh, I'm sorry.
On the 26th, I plan to shut that whole thing down. And I challenge all of you to do the same thing. I think there's more rumors. I just found out a little bit about it, enough about it to know that I don't like it. You know,
welcome to my world.
Hey, I'll tell you this, if I am elected, I'm going to do like you. You either call me or text me, and if you can't get me that way, I will do email, but that's it. I won't do Facebook.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Nikki?
Excuse me.
If I can
look back.
Yes, sir.
I've got
a
broken ribs.
I don't want anybody to feel like they can't say what they need to say, so.
I'm just busy
sweeping
short.
Hey, he's easy to
ask. Y'all please excuse me. Chief Smith tripped me the other night this week. I broke a few ribs.
Hold it closer.
Yeah.
Hold the mic closer, Mickey.
Yeah, Chief Smith tripped me last week and I broke a couple of ribs. I'm kind of down. But my name's Mickey Robinson. I live at 4311 Harbor Cove Drive. I've been here a long time. I come here in 1992. The city was 7 years old. I retired from this largest city in the state of Alabama. Had 600,000. Citizens to come to a city that had 1,500. Big change. I loved every minute of it. But it is a beautiful city. And I'm not here to talk about anybody or anything. I just want to clear some things up because I feel like I'm in a position of being here for as long as I have. I can answer some of the things that people are asking. In 1992, I moved here and I had a really good job. And 3 months later, the mayor appointed me as a department head. It went downhill. Not only was I a department head, but it's also in the planning commission, the various construction committee, the EMA director for the city. It goes on and on and on. And as you know, back then, if you could walk, you got a lot of hats. But anyway, you know, what I would ask each and every one of y'all is this. a lot of things have been said, and I like the gentleman here, only in college name. I don't like all the controversy. I like things that go smooth, but unfortunately, life is not that way. But all I ask is for each and every one to educate yourself of what's going on. Educate yourself. I'm seeing so many things that I personally know are wrong. And it's kind of like I say, well, we've got to have traffic control. We've got to have roads. Golly gee, the state owns all our roads. You know, okay, we had little path about parking. Well, we tried that. How many of you were here when we had the bus service? There you go. We had a bus service that ran from the state line all the way to Gulf Shores. We rented buses from Brass. We put up big, nice bus stations for people to sit and stand in, out of the weather. We sold a little pretty gold coin with Orange Beach on them. And that's how you got on. Lasted a year because it didn't pay for yourself to lose money all the time. So we've been there. We've tried that. There's so many things that we've tried that's such a long time ago, people don't know. How many people have been here 20 years? Great. I'm glad to see that. That's wonderful. The thing about it is that one of the things I hear more than anything, this is the moment I'll keep you, we're all tired. And Mr. Ferrer brought it up, other people brought it up, and I'm going to approach it because I know the truth of the matter, because it involved me. City beaches. Okay? I love the beach. That's why I'm here. That's why I always come to the beach. That's why I moved here. That's why I took a big pay cut to come here. However, 1996, if y'all remember, y'all were here, there was bumper stickers going around saying replace all six in 96. It was the five councilmen and the mayor. It was because a citizen got mad, didn't like what was going on, and didn't get his way, so he cut me 3D these bumper stickers, and everybody, not everybody, a lot of people was putting them on. He slipped around that, putting on people's cars. It's the way it works, you know. So anyway, what brought this to my attention, other than the things the picture tells you, is at that time, we had three candidates that were going door to door. And all of a sudden I thought, golly, I guess that's the way to get to people. One lived in Pedro Gate. Owen lived on Guff Bay. Owen lived in Bear Point. The connection here is that one was rich, one was a very, very big environmentalist, and one had just retired from the FBI. Who would have thought it? 96, 2000. Anyway, while they were there, the three got elected, but the one that ran for mayor, it was so close they had to have a recount. Y'all remember that? It was thrown out. He was disqualified. They found some things that he did not either put or either left off or anyway, there was reasons that he was disqualified. The governor had to call a special election. And that took over a year because there's only been one in the whole state called at that time. Well, as they say, life goes on, right? So here we are. And so I'm trying to make the best out of this we can because you got to realize that we got lawsuits, God Almighty, we got lawsuits coming out of our ears at this time. And between Fairhope and Daphne and Orange Beach, the news was full every night. I was afraid to go out the door, afraid there'd be a camera there. Anyway, all of us know who Hugh Grant was, the most honorable man in the world. Run the state parks, was the third man in this state with the most power. His boss and the governor, the only ones over him. So I went to him and I said, I need to talk to you. And I said, Mr. Green, and I said, you know, the city owns 600 acres down here that butts up to the golf course, state golf course. I said, what do you think about the city swapping you that for all the beaches? One's Romar, 161. My favorite from the past all the way to Windsor condominiums. Oh, my mind was just going wild. I'm thinking, boy, the things we could do. So he says, let me get back with you. 3-4 weeks later, he called me and says, can you come to the office? I said, yes, sir. So went in, he handed me a folder. He said, you know, look at see, I'm a little bit afraid to. So I opened it up. There's a contract signed by him, his boss, the governor of the state of Alabama. He says, now, all you got to do is get it patients, your people, we've got a deal. Man, I am so cloud nine, it's unreal. So back then, we did the committee the whole 1 week to council the next week. So we went to the committee of the whole, and I had this put on the committee of the whole. And the mayor pro tem said, what is this? And I said, sir, you have a copy. I was like, it's a wonderful thing. He said, no, it's not. It's not any good. We don't want it. But we need no part of the beach. We don't need no part of the beaches here. I said, but sir, look, it's a future. Now, we ain't got no future. I said, well, let's just bring it to the vote whether or not we put it on the council for the agenda. Guess what? Too far. Too against. All you people who go to city beaches, you want free family, go back to 1996, that's when they killed me, because we'd have had every one of them. So there's a lot of things there that's happened. The people hadn't been here real long, you know, Miss Tucker has, and she remembers a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff has done been brought up. I mean, you know, in this business that they run, it is such a weird business I've seen for almost 40 years. God, that makes me old. And you get the state law, you know, it's right up here. And that state law is determining that each one of these people do what they say. And guess what? Somebody took me to lunch one day and they said, you know, you just violated ethics. That's what you mean. So they put you in jail for that. I said, oh, Pastor, explain that. That's how I found out about ethics. You know, we live and learn. But anything that y'all have been told, and I see so many things, I know they're wrong, but I know it's honest because people, if you live here 5 years, you have no idea what this was. Stop and think. 1,500 people. I was in a church with an apartment of 6 people to begin with. We had back then 25,000-30,000 coming on the weekend, so I was supposed to take care of the people with 6. No different now. Now we've got 100,000 on the weekend. So, you know, get all that stuff. But I want to thank everybody. I'm sorry the cops can keep you, but thank y'all again for being here. Good luck to all.
Thank you, Mickey. Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey. Y'all know me, I'll stay all night. So if y'all ready to go, we'll get out of here. But I'm so sorry this happened tonight. But when you run for public office, your life is out there. Y'all know that I went through it, and it was terrible, but everybody scrutinized mine from top to bottom in 08 in the most egregious of the way. So, but I do have to say this, because Mr. Fierro left here as a victim. Mr. Fierro's not the victim. Mr. Fierro did not resign his position because of the mayor. That is a fact. The mayor had absolutely nothing to do with Mr. Fierro resigning his position, period. I don't care how professional or how honorable he is, that is not the case. Please make sure everybody understands that. Would y'all agree?
Yes.
Okay. So I will not be the bad guy in this scenario because of somebody else. And that bothers me. It bothers me that our community is being divided when we went through all that we've gone through to pull us together and we're being divided by a group of people that want to be elected. That's unfair to everybody here, especially those of us that's working so hard and giving all of our time, and to have these divisive campaign platforms really, really bother me. Pitting seniors against families, retailers against, it's heartbreaking, it's unacceptable, and it's just not who we are, and it's unacceptable that someone would try to divide us. It's really possible. But I'm not the problem. I was not the problem for Mr. Fierro. So I guess that's enough of that. Any last comments? Okay, thank you. Okay.
Jeb Smith, 504. I just wanted to say, you know, kind of going off Coach Joe, I just want to appreciate the input from everybody. You know, I go to a lot of city council meetings and we could never fill up half, you know, even a quarter of this at a regular city council meeting. So please keep up this interest. Keep involved, keep plugged in, because that's the way we can get things, you know, the correct information out there. We can build more. We can do more. Keep involved.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good night, everybody.
Alan, your wife's calling you.
Yeah.